What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Repentance and faith. We cannot be saved if we don't have both. It's something like electricity. If you know anything about electricity, what happens at a switch? When you say you put on a switch, the fan runs and the light comes on. All that's happening at that switch is two wires touch each other. That's all. And electricity is flowing through one, and the moment it gets contact with the other, the lights come on. You cannot have an electric wiring with just one wire, nowhere in the world. You need two wires, and then when they touch, the switch comes on. So it's like that. I see repentance and faith are like that. If you have only one, there's no life. Nothing works. There's no life. But when repentance and faith touch, there's life and light. That's just an illustration, and it's helped me to see how God has put certain things together in pairs. And, you know, it's like a man and a woman. You can't have a baby without a man plus a woman. A man alone can't do it. A woman alone can't do it. But it's a man plus a woman. In many things in life, it is like that. And it's the same with repentance and faith. We saw a little bit about repentance, which is, let me just say one final word about repentance, and that is, what is the finest definition of sin? You know, repentance is turning away from sin. So until you know what sin is, you can't turn away from it. Repentance is turning away from sin, so you need to know what sin is. I mean, if you want to face the north, and you know where south is, you can turn towards the north, something like that. So there are many definitions of sin in Scripture. And one of them is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, which says, sin is transgression of the law. That means you go against God's command. That is sin. Something God told you to do, and you went told you not to do, and you did it. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You do something which you went against the law. Another definition of sin is the opposite of that in James 4, where the first one is you did what you were not supposed to do according to God's law. In James 4:17, it says, you know what is the right thing to do and you don't do it. That's the opposite. Here's something you don't do. There's something you did. So the two types of sins. One is what you did, which God told you not to do. And the other is you don't do what God said you should do. So those are the two definitions of sin. But beyond all that, the most perfect definition of sin is in Romans 3 and verse 23, where it says, everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the complete definition of sin, more than the other two. Coming short of the glory of God is sin. And the glory of God is, we read in John 1:14, it's defined there. See, glory of God is sort of a vague term. Some people think of it as light, brightness. No. It's not all that. It's very down to earth and practical. John 1:14, it says, the glory of God was seen in Jesus Christ, in his life, full of grace and truth. So the glory of God is seen in Jesus Christ. John 1:14. And sin, according to Romans 3:23, is coming short of the glory of God. So ultimately, the finest definition of sin is anything that comes short of the life of Christ. Anything I cannot do in fellowship with Christ is sin. I mean, down to earth practical things, like if you're sitting watching something on television, and if Jesus is sitting there with you, and you come to some some program on television and Jesus says, I can't sit and watch this anymore, you'd also get up and go, or you turn the channel, can't watch that. A person who's serious about his Christian life, his attitude will be, anything I cannot do in fellowship with Christ, I don't want to do. It can be different things, you know, in your office or something, you just sign a certain statement, which may bring you financial loss, because that's the truth. So you modify it or you change it. What would Jesus? Would Jesus countersign that as a witness? No. No, I say, I want to be honest there. That's happened to me many times. It even happened to me a couple of weeks ago when I was to sign a statement. I say, I want to say what's 100% true. It'll bring me financial loss. Fine. It's okay. I'd rather lose money than lose fellowship with Jesus Christ. You take that attitude, your life will grow, spiritual life, in leaps and bounds. People will not be able to recognize you 1 year from now, how much you've grown. But if in your private life, where nobody sees, there are things you're doing where, you know, it's fishy, questionable, Christ would not go along with you in what you did or what you said, well, you're not going to make much progress in the Christian life. Anyone can make progress in the Christian life. If he says, I'm going to do only what I can do in fellowship with Christ, and most of us who have heard the scriptures so much in this church, we know in many situations, your conscience will tell you, you cannot do that in fellowship with Jesus Christ. If Christ were right here, you would not sign that statement because it's false. Even if you made a little money through it. There are a lot of Christians who do that. They bend the law, twist it a little bit, make it mean what it doesn't mean. Jesus never did that. Can you convince Jesus about that? And you know, ultimately, you have to give an account for that in the day of judgment. Don't forget that. Whatever you may do, you may have escaped the notice of people on earth. But one day in the day of judgment, the Lord will bring it up. Uprightness. That's repentance, is turning away from anything unchristlike. I never forget a story I heard of a poor repairer of shoes who was a fine Christian in another country. And he was not making shoes, he was repairing shoes. He was a poor man. But he was an upright Christian and he used always the best material of leather or whatever it is or to repair shoes. And he had an assistant as a little boy. And that boy said to him, sir, why don't you use some inferior material when you repair the shoes? Because then they'll come back to you again sooner because the shoe wears out because the material was inferior. He thought he was giving a clever idea to his master. And the master said, no, I'm a Christian. In the day of judgment, when I stand before the Lord, there'll be a big pile of shoes next to the judgment seat. And the Lord will pick up each one of them and say, John, why did you make this one like this with inferior material? And what will I answer to the Lord in that day? He says, that's what concerns me more than can I make a little more money now. People like that will have a glorious entry into the kingdom of heaven when Christ comes back. While many other Christians at the judgment seat of Christ will hang their head in shame. Don't ever forget that every single thing we do and say, we have to give an account in the day of judgment. Jesus said that in Matthew 12:37. Every idle, careless word men speak, every word they'll give an account in the day of judgment. That's made me very, very careful in my life. In my early Christian life, I was not very careful about that because people did not stress that in the messages I heard. The church I went to, tell you honestly, the churches I went to, never once did I hear a preacher tell me, your words, you'll give an account for every word in the day of judgment. It's written in scripture, Matthew 12. But why is it nobody preaches that? They only preach, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And I'm sorry, I believed that for a long time. And my life was just as defeated as in my unconverted days. till I began to take the scriptures seriously. Like Abraham said, they've got the Bible, let them read that. They don't need a preacher to tell them. They've got the Bible, they can read it. And I've often used this statement, made this statement. If you can read, that means if you can read and write, you're educated, you can read, and you have a Bible in your language, and you don't read it, you deserve to be deceived by preachers. You deserve to be deceived by preachers. Because you got a Bible and you know how to read. You have no excuse. I want to say that plainly.